said talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You stupid bitch, you filthy!
Welcome back. I got a very special Flyover State of Fear for you. We finally have the last Flyboy on the show after 30-something episodes. I got my man, TJ Dexter. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? It feels so good to be here. Finally, I've drug you along for months and rescheduled you so many times.
For the people that don't know, I think the movie has changed a few times, and then we landed on one, and then every time we're like, you want to record? And either myself or TJ would just be like, yeah, I got something. So we're here.
We're busy. We're the busiest members of the Flyover crew. And
oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, we don't have children or homes. You know, I mean, like, we definitely have the busier board. But no, we're here today. TJ, for anyone that isn't aware of who you are, if they're just fear listeners, who are you?
I, as most of you watching this, probably see me on Twitter. I am at TJ Dex. I am the guy that you've probably been with an argument, you know, had an argument with here and there. I like to think of myself as the wild card of the group. Alpha.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think you are.
Brian says it all the time. He's always like, TJ, I am so impressed with everything you do. I'm actually inspired by you a lot. And how I raised Harrison.
TJ, you inspire me.
Thank you.
Just be better.
You just be better people. Don't be so nice, guys.
And it's funny, to anyone listening, TJ, on Twitter and on podcasts in person, the two most different people I know.
I got to tell people it's a character a lot, because everyone's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm good.
Oh, my God. Is he okay? Yeah, he's good, man. He's totally fine. But, no, very happy you're here with you. So today we're talking about The Gate, but first, 1987's Gate, but first and foremost, TJ, well, I know you like horror movies, but what's like your horror movie origin story, and you know, how'd you get into it, and you know, spend some time with that?
Yeah, I mean, it for me was at a young age. You know, my parents were pretty open with films and stuff like that. They never really shied away from showing me you know, R-rated films at such a young age. We've talked about before, one of the first movies I saw with my dad was Child's Play. That holds such a distinct place in my heart, and like why we always end up talking nonstop on.
Well, I know your love of Child's Play, and I mean, that's bring more Flyover thing, and Brian's, or why, like, over, like, I mean, we've been doing this shit for like 5+ years now, why I currently love Child's Play.
And it's just like, it's one of those things to where, like, I, as a kid, because it's not like I thought I was not scared or cooler. Like, I got scared. I'd hide my face in all the films, but that was the fun of it. Like, going to see these horror movies, or having, like, my parents bring home, like, even something as simple as is Poltergeist, which even The Gate, which we'll get into later, is a scary movie, but it's not, like, a horror scare movie, but, like, Friday the 13th when you're 6 years old does stuff to you, like,
yeah,
Myers and all that.
I feel like Friday the 13th is one of those ones, right? It's kind of like Child's Play, where like, Child's Play is a much better movie, so I don't want to kind of rope the two in. But Friday the 13th, kind of like, there's this allure to it as a kid where you're like, ooh, and then you actually watch it and you're like, we're watching it and like remember the murders and kind of forgetting about it. And then, like, you know, everyone in the world will mix Friday the 13th up with cheese, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not if you're not a nerd, or like into horror movie nerds, that's just one movie for everyone, and they're like, oh, okay.
And like it too is, you like, as a, you know, for myself, I'll speak for myself on this one, as a young boy, there's only so many ways you got away with seeing nudity, and like it came, unfortunately, like double-ended to where like you got to see the, you know, the first naked girl, but then you also got to see her get decapitated or something.
But
it was good for a moment, and you're shitting your pants.
Yeah, and the horror movies are definitely working way around it. oh my god, I even like, I mean, it's a little, I bring this movie up way too much on this show, but like, for me, because I was a little younger, but about that time where it was like, oh, New Girl, it was like, there's very brief scenes, and they're not good, in Dawn of the Dead, the Dawn of the Dead remake. Like, oh, very, yeah. Very brief, but I remember being like, yeah, boobs. Like a side poor shot of like Sarah Polley's like naked body.
Yeah, yeah, like behind things. Because we're not gonna watch. I can't even think of films like dramas when we're kids and be like, oh, Basic Instinct or whatever.
Yeah, I was just gonna say Basic Instinct, where it's like, oh, and even that as a kid, like I don't know, she flashes her vagina, and you're like, dude, it's nothing. You know, it's there about it, right? You're like, oh yeah, but for people, it's like, well, that's scandalous. You don't show that on TV.
Then, like, also, the one of the funnest parts about these horror films for me when I was younger, and this is like going, you know, 11, 12, where, you know, we were at my age, like latchkey kids, we were allowed to go out, walk around, neighborhood, be alone in the house by ourselves. And there might be that film that my parents were like, not quite yet for you.
Yeah, I had a few of those.
Sneaking those ones in, or go to the movie theater to see like Shrek, and then I just did that for you, and then dipping into like any horror movie that was out at the time, even if it was something that you didn't know. Because I remember like back, I snuck into like House on Haunted Hill remake.
Oh yeah, or like The Haunting, that like the same Haunting year. Like
I never wanted to see it, but just a horror movie, just the fact that it was horror, you never knew what you're gonna get, and like so those were like the fun times, and like. You like bad movies, even though you've seen them for the first time.
My mom was pretty lenient. My mom and dad are pretty lenient, but they're pretty lenient comedies more than anything. And it was a horror podcast. The one you're talking about sneaking, the one I always remember is the one she's like, absolutely not. I didn't see it for like, I saw worse things before I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
Was I remember we went to the, I don't know, maybe like an Austin Powers or something. And whatever scary movie was out, we went in the summer to those movies. And I remember I was like, really want to see Scary Movie. She's like, no, you're too young. I'm like, what? I already seen this. And yeah. I never forget it. We peek. She goes, okay, well, we're at the movie theater. She's like, okay, let's, you know, peek. We peek in between the window doors. And it was the scene where he's jamming the hot dog into her mouth, mimicking what's the kiss scene from that 90s Shakespeare, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
With Sarah Michelle Gellar and...
Cool Intentions?
Cool Intentions. I remember that scene of, like, the sensuality. And they start... I think that's what they are. And I remember the jam the hot dogs in the mouth. And honestly, not knowing what it is, right? I'm like 9 or 8. And my mom going, like, kind of pulling out, nope, you're not seeing that one. Nope. I actually remember years later, like, I mean, like, so-and-so, and she's, like, still, I, like, stuck with her. And then I, you know, whatever. But everything else, like, that was the only movie I remember, but, like, nope. It was pretty lenient. Like, and the horror like that, too. Like, The Terminator being able to rent it, or, like.
Yeah. 13 Ghosts, that was, like, one that I snuck into that still to this day scares the shit out of me. Like, 13 Ghosts, enough credit.
So, 13 Ghosts has recently, it's been starting to get that, like, cult following, like horror accounts talking about. I tried rewatching it like 2 years ago. It's not for me, but I get it. But it has there, TJ. It has that like big ass cult following.
Yep.
But yeah, I know you as the Child's Play being the big one, right? Like
Child's Play, your classic horrors and stuff like that, but like because again, I grew up at a time where like Tickle Me Elmos and Cabbage Patch Kids, like those specific dolls during that Christmas time were crazy. So like around the time when I saw this is probably when like Tickle Me Elmos are really going off or something like that. I'm probably getting my dates off. But the toy, the kid, the single mom, and just all that attached to it. Child's Play just one of those ones. Again, it's not bloody. It's not gruesome. It's not gory. It's just a scary fucking movie.
It's- It's, I mean, you were there, and I think what made me, you know, and I think you guys remember too, as a scary, is my sister-in-law, when we were on Pittsburgh, we were watching it, and I mean, we had been partying all day, and they were there for some reason, and we put Child's Play on as like the background movie, and my sister-in-law Sam is just glued to it, and there's general reactions of like scares, and like, as an adult, you don't think, I mean, personally, I don't think that exists for fucking some of these movies because of
scares. Yeah, so no. We're also sort of a lot of shit now, too. Like, you see some things, you're like, oh, yeah, that was kind of scary. But, like, you expect a lot, too. And, like, it's hard for horror movies today, which is pretty cool when someone gets around it. Like, you know when someone's doing, like, they're in the bathroom, they shut the mirror, and open the mirror, and they shut the mirror again. You're like, oh, there's going to be a jump scare.
But, yeah.
Like, you're starting to get around that. But if you've watched so many horror movies like we have, you at some point in time, you kind of know everything that's about to happen.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's fun, and I like, it's fun, too. Like, you have a very similar horror arc as I do, in the sense of like young and then like not into it too much and then kind of later. So good stuff. So you did pick The Gate, which is of that time, and it is, I'd say, a little more obscure one. It was my first time watching it, for not obscure because I'm sure it was like, oh, it's The Gate, that movie rules, but it's not talked about, and it is definitely, like we were just talking about the ones you have to sneak into, this is one that was like, I would say it's clearly for kids. It has that like Goonies vibe to it.
A bunch of your friends type of thing. Throw it on. It was PG-13 at the time, I want to say, because PG-13 back then was basically R now. You could have like,
Boob shot,
F word.
It just, you know, it's 87. So yeah, it's definitely PG-13. Yeah, there's some.
Do you know? Can I give you a little fun fact, which I'm sure you
probably
heard?
I had a hard time finding fun facts for this, so go for it.
You know the kid? The main kid?
This is Steven Dorff.
Yes. From Blade. Shout out. God, his name off the top of my head. Deacon Frost.
Deacon Frost. That's like it.
I saw this as that's literally it. I don't like. Do we give like a rundown of the film?
Oh yeah. So it is Deacon Frost, Stephen Dorff, and it's his first role, or one of his first, because they do that thing where they say "and introducing," I believe, in the credits. Yes, I like to read because they're either on or completely off. I'm gonna read the synopsis we pulled from Wikipedia or from Googling, which you think usually comes from Wikipedia, and I've not read it yet, and I tell it to everyone. I always give it as a blind read because I don't know if this is going to explain the movie or just give us like a. It was a movie in 1987, and there were demons. All right, so when Al and Glenn's parents leave town for the weekend, Al uses the opportunity to throw a party, while little brother Glenn and his friend Terry decide to explore a hole left by a tree. Removal service in the backyard. Man, it was written weird. When an unexplainable phenomenon begins to occur, Terry, with the help of his extensive heavy metal music knowledge, comes to the conclusion that he and Glenn have accidentally opened a gateway to hell. So, it's kind of there. I mean, it doesn't happen during the party. It would be my only. And I have so many thoughts about this party. So, why? Before we break scene by scene, why did you do this movie? Like, what is this movie to you?
This is... I did these when I was younger. We did this at a sleepover on a double night. We watched Poltergeist and then watched this. This was like the scarier version of Poltergeist. And it stuck with me the most because of it was mainly kids. Like, Poltergeist is definitely about the family, the mom and the dad. Yeah. But this one's literally about the kids being left alone. And dare I say, I love the naming of all these kids, Glenn, Al, and Terry. Al is his sister, but she wants to be called Allison now. But like, she was obviously growing up as a tomboy, and like her and her brother, they kind of gave me this thing in the beginning of the film where her and her brother have like this great bond, but she's getting older. I think she's like maybe a sophomore or freshman in high school.
I would say like, yeah, about there. But some of her character is like written for like, it doesn't make sense sometimes, some of the decisions. Cause like it's written as like a little girl sometimes. And then like, is a normal adult teenager. And
yeah.
I don't know if you want me to bring it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like it was very prevalent in the party scene, right? Because for me, the party scenes felt like they had written this script for them to be like a sleepover or like a non-high school party.
I'm like, oh, they're doing like they're smoking joints. Yeah. I'm pretty sure cocaine.
And then
everywhere.
Yeah, and then in high school, I'm sorry, and then it's a high school party at the same time with like joints and beers but then in the middle of it they just interrupted play like Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, which is a middle school sleepover element. So it just, and then certain actions, like I said, I don't really made me go, her character is great, then terrible, then doesn't make sense. It's very just a different person every scene.
I think this is a smart, I know we read the synopsis and it's pretty vague of how it goes, but I think how the gate comes is cool. You know, the kid has a nightmare one night that he's in his treehouse, the treehouse falls and like gets set on fire, but actually in real life, there was a storm, the tree goes down, he wakes up the next day, all the construction and removal guys are pulling out this, what do they call them? The gemstone things?
Oh, the geode.
Geode, yeah.
Yeah.
Falls out, the kid cracks it open, his best friend comes over. I love Terry. I had a friend like that too. Just like, one of my favorite scenes is when they're like going through the trash that the sister was throwing out. Mm-hmm. And he's like getting his rockets out, and Terry's just catching moths and putting them in a jar and shutting the jar and just like looking at him. And he's like, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, I want to see how long they last. I want to see how long they survive. And he's like, hey, man, that's fucking cruel. And he's
it's
that friend.
Oh, God. The Terry. So, yeah, you meet Terry and Al, and they kind of just nailed it right there. We start immediately, and there's clearly a power dynamic, right? He's like, what the fuck are you doing, Terry? That's most of the conversation of Al and Terry. So the movie does start out with like this dream sequence with like a tree house and falling down, like no one's around, and it's just clear proof like omission of like an omen of like what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah.
Like, premonition. And then they find the geode, and he's like, a lot of money, let's get back down there. My first fucking note, though, is there is a big tree that's a big service.
Mm-hmm.
I know either one of my parents would have been home watching that shit happen in the backyard, even if it was a work day.
What did the parents do? This is a beautiful house. They went away for the weekend for some reason. I don't remember the reason for it.
I don't
think a family was sick or something like that.
There's 3 days.
It's smart because they're out there. They're just messing around with like the hole, and the kid pricks his finger with a splinter,
mm-hmm.
pulls out, throws the bloody splinter into the hole, which then like you hear the oh, and they go the gate, and then
it riles the gate.
The book. I love the part where like there's like Terry's going through something. Like Terry's just.
So a little later, right? Like he's like, because Terry teases him. He's like, "There's a man that lives in your walls."
And
there's a lot of things in this later where like the demons are just doing shit that like children are afraid of, right? Like the monster under the bed, shit in the closet, the person in the walls. So but the dad actually like gives a great reasoning. He's just like, why is Terry such a dick? And the dad's like, Terry lost his mother.
Yeah,
and you know he's just going through some stuff. But kind of like be chill with Terry, and it was especially in any movie was like handled very nicely.
And they use that great with Terry. He's like, can Terry sleep over? He's alone at the house, and then Terry wakes up and thinks he sees his mom. This part always
goes. That was fucking creepy. So I mean, you really don't have to go scene by scene of it in the sense of like. basically Al is like, I'm old enough to watch my stupid brother alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be no big deal for 3 days. Parents do agree, and they say, sure. My parents would never. They'd be like, no, your uncle's coming over, or you're going to your uncle's, and that's
with it. The threat of my uncle stopping by to check on us.
Yeah, no, go for it. And so they, so they do that, and then we kind of already talked about it, but she throws the lamest party of all time. And I don't say the sense of like they're hanging out, they're there, but I already mentioned the fact that it's just interrupted for no reason to be like, yeah, let's stop the
everybody leaves minus like 10 people.
Yeah. They're like good friends who are all like assholes to her, and the one girl is that there's something about Mary hair.
The fucking twins.
Yeah, I have their names. The Lee twins.
Yeah, the Lee twins.
But oh my god, they're such dickheads. the party, yeah, they do this like light as a feather, stiff as a board, and they're like, well, you're too big, and they call over Terry from watching, oh, I'm sorry, call over Glenn from watching Far Away, and he goes, okay, and they start lifting Glenn up, and because they're doing that, the demons are able to like kind of fuck with it, and they do levitate him up, and like shit happens, everyone freaks out, and then they leave the party.
Just leave the party. And the kid's crying. He's embarrassed. And the sister's like, oh, no. And then she shows him the rocket, which comes back later.
Yeah, the rocket's a big thing. This kid loves industrial rockets.
Yes. And like that's cool because it's like it does have this like heart, like beat the demons with love type of a message, too. It makes you think of like, Interstellar, too, with that fucking...
That whole message of love stuff really did ruin Interstellar, really did ruin that for other movies.
It's fucked it all up. You should have been ghosts and all that shit. But like the design, another thing with this, the design of the creatures and the monsters and the use of them and how they kind of sprinkle in these little stories.
Yeah, they're fun.
Take them up, and then the when Terry, because you don't think that, like, some of these kids, you just think it's, like, dumb scares, but, like, the kids start disappearing. Like, Terry gets taken, and then he
comes out. Yeah, we'll get there in a sense. So, like, that night at the party, Terry does have that dream about his mom. And it's this, like, angelic woman coming out as his mother, and he's just, like, stunned. And then it turns out that, like, it's actually horrifying, and she wants to take him with him.
Mm-hmm. The dog.
But, well, that's... I mean, we could do 40 minutes on the dog itself, because... So, the kicker, and this is where I really am like... Because I want to like Al, and I can't because of the dog.
Yeah.
So, first, no one's nice to their sweet, sweet dog, Angus.
The old sheep dog.
Yeah, he's like, he's 97. That's in dog years. But the dog gets straight up fucking murdered by the demons. And it's just dead in the middle of their rich house. Like, there's a big spiraling staircase, and the balcony just looks very, like, they're very well off. And, I mean, they're all crying, except their shit friends that are sleeping over, being like, huh, what's the big deal? And they wake up in the morning, and this is where I'm like, this girl's car, he's like, I'm going to call mom and dad and tell them, you know, our beloved family dog died.
God, yeah.
And Al's like, fuck, you aren't.
Yeah, like, what? I have to prove to them, like, I can handle this. And what does she do? This dumb ass. This dog has been probably since she was...
That dog is as old, is almost as old as her, at minimum.
So she gets this fucking, this dipshit who the girl, her twin friend just want to get her to, like, hook up with. Can you bury my dog? No, like, can we have a, you know, ceremony for it or anything like that? But they get this dipshit guy who doesn't even know the dog, wrap him in a blanket. And then this asshole, which I also think is a smart thing that they did with the writing to get the sacrifice. Because at the same time this is all happening, this is what Terry's doing.
You But yeah, so he's fucking driving around and it's a completely different movie. It's like, no, buddy. He talks to the dog. He's like, too late. And then he's holding it like, and he sees the hole in the backyard. But couldn't they have just done a simple thing of like, and for Al to make her seem like a good person, go, okay, let's bury him in the backyard. Yeah. And then they throw him in the fucking gate hole and they just start, you know, they fill it up or they whatever. And they make a makeshift like gravestone, be like, here lies Angus. And then that's the sacrifice, but at least the kids put it in there and it makes sense. Right. Not a comedy beat, because that's what it was.
Yeah, he's just talking to the dog, and then like he gets lazy and is like, oh yeah, there's a hole in the back. And then he doesn't tell anybody what he did, but he filled up their hole in the back. And again, that hole, for anyone who's watching this movie, is like at least like 12 to 15 feet deep.
It's deep.
Like with the show. So like even filling that up would take you hours upon hours to do that. But it, you know, Terry reads the thing. He's doing his rock thing. I don't know if you want to get to that part. So I think it's like...
Nah, we got a bit between then. We go wherever you want to go with this. But, yeah, so Terry, like they... they're sleeping over Angus. It's night two now, right?
Yeah.
And nothing really happens during the day. But, except the... Actually, Terry and Al... I'm sorry, Terry, Al, and Glenn... actually hang out. They light off a rocket. Like, yeah. He's like, cool, you're a bitch because you killed my dog. You won't give me a proper burial of my dog, but like blah blah blah. And then she goes out with her girlfriends, and like that's a big thing for Al. Like, I just want to be with my friends and like, go to the mall and talk to the cute boys and whatever. And she goes off and does that. And what's baffling to me though is, because when everything starts happening, she's the nighttime. She's home alone. She threw a party Friday night. Assumedly, it's Saturday night. She has no plans Saturday night with her friends. Like, that's what made no sense to me. Like, yeah. I know when my parents, it was like, every night, let's fucking go. She was like, oh, yeah. And the Lee twins come over, and they're like, they start, like, jabbing insults at each other. And one of them was like, what's his problem? She's like, her dog died. And it was like, it's like, wait, yeah. These girls were with you earlier in the day. They don't know that.
Just leave everything out. It's like, there's so many holes when it comes to this.
Oh, it's fun. I'm just goofing on, like,
the ugly twin.
But in the meantime, though, Terry does figure out what's going on. He was like, I think, because there's weird shit, like we keep seeing these moths, like they have this like big ass buzz zapper and all this, and the one night the moths just fucking like, basically break the window open. And then he gets out and gets Al, and then this is when we see Aang the bed, right?
Yes.
So Al goes, this is when the demons
I lost you. Come back, Joe. Okay.
Teaching. Yeah, are we good? Oh yeah, yeah, you're quoting.
Oh no. I lose you again? Why? Come on, buddy. Come on, wifey.
Are we okay. Taking a... We're good?
I think we're good. Sorry, just froze up twice.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, they like turn that around, and this is when shit starts hitting the fan, or at least the first wave of the demons comes through that night, and they go through the thing, and they lift open the bed sheet, and there's a dead dog in it, and it's fucking awful.
Holds back.
And yeah, as they're doing that, this giant monster hand comes out from below. It's like trying to grab, I believe it's Al, under the bed, like, get in here, you know. and then like, what's silly about these demons is their goal is just seemingly to me to fuck with these people.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
are they strong enough yet, or they're doing like the Freddy thing where I don't have my powers just yet?
That's what it felt like, the Freddy thing, because they're fucking with her and then them, and they're running around the house. The Lee twins are like, "What's going on?" And they're
fucking kids.
And Terry's like, "It's demons, you idiots."
Yeah.
But they're like, "Oh, my notes, they're in the basement."
which is the best thing about this, is because if you're someone who likes like metal, heavy metal, they do like the thing where, like, you know, back in the day, like if you reverse a record backwards, the demon talking, you know, shit, but Harry actually like has a record, reads through all this like ancient scripture these guys have on their record for some reason. He kind of talks about it because I think he explains
the explanation is the symbols that the geode projected are the same ones as this rare album he has, where the band died in a plane crash and they only made one.
Straight Leonard Skinner type shit.
Yeah.
It works. Then like he does the thing where he's sitting there and he's like, as he's like, you know, singing the songs, he like starts, you can see in his face, he's like, "Oh shit." And then he reads it, and that's where his notes is just a heavy metal vinyl record, which is,
it's actually awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And like I said, we gave an explanation, so there's no holes there. It's perfect.
No, yeah.
So yeah, they do that. It's like Leonard Skinner. Like, what if we like ran back background, like, "What's your name, little girl?"
Yeah.
And it said like, "Go to the trailer and get your sister. Your cousins are perfectly fair game."
My dad loved Leonard Skinner.
I like Leonard Skinner. but anyway, they so they have a plan at least, right? And then like, I don't know, I just feel like this, like the first just two bits of like the horror.
Yeah.
This first one is like lighter and you kind of see the gremlins go down and it's just kind of like broken windows and lightning. That's really all that's going on. Yeah. Like a lot of running around. Our Lee girls, they're hiding in the closet. And then the other three are just fucking running around. Right. And they're like, "We gotta read the thing." So they go out back to the gate, start reading the thing, and then Terry falls in.
Yeah.
And this is when we get like the first real thing of these I call it, they're demons. I mean, we want to call them like trolls kind of, but they're demons.
Yeah, they're like trollies.
And they're shapeshifters too. They're really great claymation. I mean, this movie looks great. But they start biting and like gnawing at Terry while he's down there, and like the kid, Glenn and Al are like trying to pull him up with things from the backyard. And they do eventually get him out, right? Like, it's a bit dramatic, but they do get him out. Once he gets out, they finish reading the passage, and the hole closes and blows up, and they're like, "We're good. Great. It's over. No problem."
Call the parents yet?
No, we are not going to call the parents. And on top of it, we're all going to go to our separate bedrooms and just go back to bed.
Yeah, just go sleep.
Lee girls are like, "We're not getting the fuck out of here." But what's weird is, don't they show up later and they're like, "You guys aren't partying?" Or like another group of friends?
I think they were hiding the entire time.
They were. I think she kicks them out. I think Al's like, "Get the fuck out of here." I just baffled, like, TJ, if something, even at the in her 30s, if something crazy scary happened to us and we went back, I think I'd be like, "Yo, so we're going to like sleep in the living room, right? Like, we're not leaving each other."
Yeah.
So she does that, and so I don't know, a little like very little bit passes because it's not actually over.
Yeah, is it all the same night? I'm pretty sure it's all the same night.
It's all the same night. Yeah. Oh yeah. This is a night because they get up, and then this is when they're like, oh, by the way, the one thing I need to say is this movie does a lot of really good like breadcrumbs. Like it tells us like they have a gun in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The dad, reckless with his gun placement.
The top of the closet.
Yeah. But the same night, they're walking around the house like to get up, and then the man in the walls appears. So they said that these demons are very connected into childhood fears, and it made me think earlier, and if I missed it, please let me know. One of them must have said they were afraid, or like there was something in the script of something under the bed.
Yeah.
Because when they do that dog reveal, like that arm coming under the bed is just such a child. I'm like, that had to have been mentioned early and was cut or something.
I think it was mentioned. I think it was Terry too.
Oh, maybe it was Terry. Okay. So anyway, the man, there's a man in the wall, and it's just like, it's a corpse. I mean, it's a zombie kind of thing. And he's going to attack. First, he goes to attack Terry. And he pulls Terry into the wall, and then the wall fucking seals.
Yeah. See, we all think Terry's dead.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Demon Terry with those teeth are pretty great. And so Al goes to the bedroom, and like he's like, we got to go. Al and Glenn are like, all right, we got to get the gun. And they try to run back, get the gun. And they're like held up in there. And they do... Then he's the zombie demon's kind of gone, but he sees fucking the he's not gone, but he sees Terry all of a sudden.
Yeah,
and Terry comes out, nails at his leg, and then he stabs him in the eye
with a Barbie doll leg. Is the best thing ever.
Yeah, that scene rules. That's the peak of this movie.
Yeah,
but now Al also.
Gets taken by her.
Taken, so that's taken, and that's the two human sacrifices.
Yep.
So this big giant, it says in the Wikipedia, they're calling it a demon serpent. It's a big giant, like golem type, like giant appears that's made up of all the demon, and it can't really attack Glenn because it's used from his blood, it seems to be. Like,
it's doing like this weird thing where it looks like a video game finishing like boss, because it just like it's there, it, like does it spinning. It's like looking up because the claymation's great, but you can tell they are definitely like
a couple points. Think it looks great. I mean, its budget was $6 million. Every piece that was used, and I mean, it made a little more than its money back. It was 13.5. So, but yeah, Glenn also, remember we said he's obsessed with rockets. He's like, I got an idea. He finds like this rocket that his sister had gifted him that he had never opened.
Yeah.
And he's like, fires that bad boy up and just perfect aim, lights it right to his chest. The demon's like, huh, that didn't hurt me. And then he explodes.
Yeah.
Leaving their parents' house completely fucking wrecked, which is fine. The kids are alive.
Yeah.
And one thing I really like what this movie did is. And please interrupt if I missed anything, is the ending is just the ending, right? He solves that, his friends come back, thankfully Angus comes back, like all the things the demons took are back in their lives.
Yes.
And what I love that it did is it just ends. We don't wait for the parents to get home, or like they don't pull into the driveway, we don't hear a last thing of like, oh my god, the house.
No, the parents got there. The second time we saw the parents is when there was like the fake parents. Wasn't really the parents, it was the demon parents when they were just doing the first like bit of scaring. But those actors, they got away scot-free. They were in there for about 30 seconds, four lines, and they're out. But that's, again, this movie. There wasn't a big adult factor when it came to it. They did, you know, because like first thing you do if your parents are in the house, you go to your parents and, you know, it was all kids. That's why this movie like just always stuck with me every time I see it. And again, it is almost free on all Tubi.
Yeah, you could
like all those things.
Tubi. I watched it on Shudder, but if you want to watch it for free, like it's great. I had a lot of fun with it, and I think I'm gonna pick up. There's one of those like bougie like third party Blu-ray.
Yeah, I think Screen Factory did one too, because it has an amazing cover and like the poster is great too.
It's that blockbuster poster, the gate. Yep. I need to watch this. Yep. It's gonna scare me. But no, super fun movie. Anything else we mentioned that we didn't mention, TJ, that you really wanted to go over with this movie?
I mean, I think that Stephen Dorff should have got more kid roles after this, because I thought he was fucking great in it.
Yeah.
I don't think anything else after this.
I would have liked to see. Owl, she has very limited credits.
Harry, I feel like I've seen again as like almost the same type of character in other.
Let's see. Brad Dourif still works.
Yes, he does. He does like this weird like Amazon free movies.
Yeah. But yeah, he does Blade, and that's, you know, pretty cool. I forgot about Fear.com. Yeah, he does a lot of bad.
You talked about Fear.com.
No, I haven't talked about Fear.com, but he's in Fear.com. Yeah, he's in like Leatherface, and like, yeah, just very.
Oh, right, he is in Leatherface.
Yeah, so he works, but yeah, as a kid actor, he was so good.
Yeah, I mean, I think all those kids were good. That's like another one too. Just. They were just relatable kids and like
recurring a lot of TV as a kid. And I'm like, I'm just looking at like Roseanne, Married with Children, Blossom.
Yeah.
So in the gate. So let's see. Terry is Lewis Tripp. Yeah, he did. This is interesting. He was in the gate too.
There's a sequel?
It says 1990, Gate 2, The Trespassers. And then he really didn't do anything, but, like, you know, do anything else. Yeah, Gate 2, Gate 2 just has Terry returning. You're gonna have to watch it. The lead looks... Oh, Pamela Adlon's in this as a young woman. Bobby Hill, voice of Bobby Hill.
Oh, really?
And she's in all the like the Louis C.K. like shit. But only reason I say really interesting, and then like I feel like I'm moving up. The kid was in a short film called Terry was in a short film in 2022 called Sacrifice, where he returns as Terry.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna.
So someone made I guess a fan film and got him to do it.
That's amazing.
So, anyway, check out The Gate if you haven't. We really enjoyed it. I'm so glad, TJ, you picked it. I'm glad you finally did an episode of Fear. I hope you come back and do more Fear. For any listening, we're going to be more circulating through my Flyboys as guests and not so much guests, and we can get them now. But anyway, you can find TJ Dex here on Flyover State of Film YouTube channel, and you can follow him on Twitter at TJ Dex. Anything missing anything?
No, you nailed it, man. Yeah. Hope you guys enjoy this, and you can hear us the next 500 episodes.
Yeah, you could hear us every other week on Flyover State of Film. All right,
if you like the horror too, check out our Halloween episodes.
Absolutely, our Halloween episodes are drafts. A lot of good stuff on this channel. All right, stay frightful, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Flyover State of Fear.